Hi, and welcome to the North Monroe College Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening. To stay up to date with the college family, follow us on social media at northmonroe.college. We hope you enjoy this week's message, and remember you are loved.
What's up, guys? If you don't know who I am, I pretty much know everybody in the room, but my name is Bryce Lovelady. I am a little bit about me. I'm a grad student at ULM. I'm a communication grad student. So yeah, grad school is pretty hard. Not gonna lie. But I'm getting through it. But I'm just gonna jump right into it tonight. So tonight, I'm gonna be talking, out of Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 17. So that's gonna be the main passage that we'll be, I'll be talking about last night. Or not last night, tonight, you know what I mean. Okay, so everybody in here, they have a hobby. Like, I have hobbies. I love to dance. Most of you know that. I have hobbies. I love to go hiking. I love to camp. All these things. But hobbies, they take practice, right, to get better at them. So, hobbies take practice to get better at them, okay? So, it goes without saying that, like, who plays sports in here? Raise your hand. Okay. Who played sports in high school? There we go. Okay. So in those sports, you had to practice to get better at that sport, right? Tonight, I want y'all to talk back. This is going to be like a conversation. Okay. And so you had to discipline yourself and get better at sports. I played football I practiced football my junior and senior year of high school. Okay. I'll get into that a little later, why I said practice instead of play. But, Christianity is very similar to that. You have to practice Christianity. You have to practice getting better at sharing, your testimony. You have to get better at bringing up the Word of God. You have to get better at reading Scripture, understanding what it says. Okay? And so, I'm going to start out. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want to jump back real quick to the start of verse 2, okay? It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Okay? I know in here, we get busy. I know for a fact. Everybody in here, y'all have jobs. Y'all have different things y'all got going on in your life. I have 3 jobs right now. I understand all about being busy. Okay? But see, that's the thing. A lot of times we typically make excuses, and us being busy gets in the way of focusing on the main thing that we need to focus on. And that's fixing our eyes on Jesus. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus and not focus on all the worldly things, because these worldly things are going to go away. At the end of the day, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. That's how it is. And it's depending on if you have a relationship with Jesus or not. Okay? And so, has anyone ever felt lonely before? I have. I know. Like, sometimes you can feel lonely. You can feel like an outcast. Like, oh, I'm not this type of, like, I'm not, like, I don't have any friends, like, I'm lonely, like, I just sit at home and watch Netflix, like, all that kind of stuff. I've had a struggle with that, too. I like controlling things in my life. I like controlling what happens to me a lot. And that's a big struggle of mine, personally, okay? And so, a little bit about me, I'm going to kind of get into a little bit parts of my testimony. So, I grew up in church. I got saved at a very young age. Some of y'all have heard my testimony. Some of y'all have not. Well, I grew up in church. My grandmother, her name was Benna. She was like a rock in my faith. So I got saved when I was really young, but I really didn't know what that meant at the time. Okay? And so during that time, I was just kind of going to church because it was my parents made me, basically, and it became a societal norm in my eyes now that I look back at it. A societal norm to go to church, okay? And so, what happened then was I grew up, I didn't have any friends all through school. I got bullied. I was the weird chubby kid. Still am. But I own up to it now. But the thing is, I didn't have any friends. I didn't have anybody supporting me in all those years of school. Okay? Until junior year of high school, which that comes later. I met my very first friend, and he's sitting in this room. But, so, growing up, I was in church. I tried to be the best kid I could. Of course, I got in trouble by my parents. I got a lot of butt whoopings. You know how it goes, okay? Well, like I told you, my grandmother, she was my rock. She was the, like, most faithful person that I ever saw and ever met and ever had a relationship with, okay? Well, my eighth grade year, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And they found it at stage 4, so it was too late. And so she passed away, and that was really hard on me. And eighth grade year, basically, I was got to the point it got so hard with the bullying and not having friends, and now I had lost one of the closest people in my life. I didn't want to be on earth anymore. I didn't want to be here. I wanted to commit suicide and not be here because that's just how it was. Well, the night I was going to do it, backtrack. Fun fact, me and my grandmother, we used to listen to two songs. She would always take me to church. Two songs. There was Boogie Shoes by KC and the Sunshine Band, if you know who that song is. And then A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay. Okay? And so the night I was going to not be here anymore, my parents and everybody, they were at a baseball game, and I knew where my dad's pistol was. And so, I was basically about to do it, and I was listening to the radio, and A Sky Full of Stars came on. And I basically busted into tears, and I realized that right then and there that my grandmother, she was watching over me in that moment, and that I should never think like that. You should never think that, hey, you're created by the Lord Almighty. Like, why would you give your life away like that? And so after that, I kind of vowed to never like think like that again, and I haven't. And that's a blessing from the Lord Himself. And so, continuing a little bit, eighth grade year, I was started like after eighth grade year, and like a lot in those couple of years, I lost a lot of family members. People in my family started dying left and right. Like, I got so used to death, I stopped crying at funerals because there were so many funerals in my life at the time. Well, my 10th grade year, after my 8th grade year, I moved to a brand new school, a private Christian school. Didn't get any better. And then my mom and dad told me, hey, we're moving to Monroe, Louisiana. To say that I was mad is an understatement. I was leaving the only place I ever knew, which was Batesville, Mississippi. And I moved to OCS. Some of y'all know where OCS is. And that is where I met my very first friend, Gannon Malone. He's sitting in the room. And I got on the football team, and I practiced all my junior year. I had to sit out a year because I didn't move in the school zone. So I was like, all right, bet. Senior year, I'm going at it. College scholarship. Just kidding. I wasn't that good. But basically, I practiced all of junior year. And then I ended up finding out that if you get held back in that 7th or 8th grade in Louisiana, you lose a year of eligibility. And so I lost my senior year, too. Now, we went down to Baton Rouge trying to fight it, but those people don't like OCS anyway, so they were like, no. I was the only case that got rejected that day. And so that was hard because I ended up becoming the football manager senior year. And that's actually funny because I helped on Friday nights. I helped Gannon because he was a manager as well with me. But then he became the kicker senior year. But then I basically took his place as manager. Okay, so I'm going to stop there before I go any further. So we're going to jump into Hebrews 12, 3 through 6 now. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Okay? I understand. Temptation and struggles are a real thing. Pornography, lustful thoughts, anything like that, gossiping about other people, lying to people, all those things, those are temptations that we face every single day. And I know every single one of us have faced those temptations in this room, including myself. But right here in this scripture, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have yet not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. A lot of times when we think about temptations, we forget Jesus went through all these temptations too. And yet he still remained perfect in those temptations and all that he went through. So, temptations are going to be thrown at you. They're going to be shot at you. So, fun facts about me. Most of y'all know, I wear their merch all the time. I work Fuge Camps this past summer. Okay? And I was over archery tag. That was my track that I kind of went over. And archery tag is basically like dodgeball, except it's with bow and arrows, and the arrows have little marshmallows on the end so they don't hurt as bad. Okay? And so, not real marshmallows, you can't eat them, but you know what I'm talking about. So they were soft, so when they hit you, and it was crazy because I never really even thought about it like this until I actually got to lead that track and when we had debriefing after. But we played a game that was kind of like, I call it, it was more like zombies, but in the way of like, you get hit and you become a zombie, and then it's like the last fight. It's like Infected on Call of Duty, if anybody plays. But everybody, once you get hit with the arrow, you become a zombie, and then the last person standing has to try to survive, okay? Well, the only thing was they had to shoot the arrows at the last survivor, okay? And so, that last survivor had all these arrows coming at him. But he's trying to dodge, and some of them got hit. You're going to get hit. It's as simple as that. You're going to get hit with temptation, and you're going to fail. It's inevitable. We're not perfect. You're going to fail. Okay? And so, going back to my testimony, senior year rolls around, I graduated with a class of 60. I only think I talked to maybe two people from a graduating class. But after high school, like when I moved to Louisiana, I went to White's Ferry Road for a while, but I really couldn't find a home church, and I kind of lost my way with God. Like I was just like, oh, I'm not going to go to church anymore. And so senior year graduation, I was like, okay. Well, that's when me and Gannon kind of like parted ways a little bit. And I kind of went down this road that I was not proud of. I started partying a lot freshman year of college. I hung out with a lot of people who did very bad things like smoke weed, drank all the time, did drugs, all this kind of stuff. I hung out with these people. Thankfully, I never partook in the actions that they were doing. But I will say I was guilty for going out to the club and dancing all the time. And it was fun. I enjoyed it very much. And so, throughout those times, freshman year and halfway through sophomore year, that's what I was doing. Until fall semester of my sophomore year, I get a text message. And it's from Mr. Malone. And he's like, hey, you know what passion is? And I was like, no. He was like, he explained to me what it was. And then he was like, do you want to go? It's like, no. I'm good. I don't want to go to passion. He was like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah. Well, then he texted me a few days later. He said, hey, Bryce, I bought you a passion ticket. I was like, bro, I told you I didn't want to go. Well, I ended up going. Passion 2020. And it was right before COVID hit. So that was like the last big social event kind of thing that I went to. But I went to Passion, and on the first night, God was like, hey, you're going this way. I need you to turn around and come back to me. And that's when I rededicated my life, was Passion 2020. And I got back and I was on fire. I was like, yes, Lord, use me how you want to. I started an anti-bullying organization on campus, and then COVID hit. and then we got sent home. And all of you know, I'm a very social person. I do not like being by myself. I've grown to like a little bit now, but I didn't like it at the time. I FaceTimed a ton of people during that lockdown period of like 2 or 3 months that we had. But there was a blessing that came out of that. I started joining North Monroe College Bible Study on Zoom. And when I did that, I started coming when everything opened back up. That's when I started coming to church here. And at first, I started coming on Wednesday nights only. I wasn't coming on Sunday mornings. I wasn't to that point yet. Well, the more I grew, this was going into my junior year. The more I grew, the more I started coming on Sundays and all that kind of stuff. And I met a lot of great guys in the process. And a lot of those guys are sitting in this room. So during that time, we started Guys Group. And basically, Guys Group was like an accountability group that helped us with our struggles and temptations and all this kind of stuff. Well, fall semester, I finally found a church. I was coming here. I was like, my life's complete, okay? Then I meet a girl. Junior year of college, I meet a girl. And she becomes my first girlfriend, okay? And everything was great for the first 2 months. And then ended up, we did things that we shouldn't have. We made mistakes. I'm not going to elaborate. Everybody's college in here and don't know what I'm talking about. But we did things that I was not proud of. And it was a very toxic relationship on both ends. I made mistakes just like she did. And it took that relationship for me to learn a lot. She ended up leaving. She ended up breaking up with me, and that was really hard on me. She started dating a friend of mine. That was even harder on me. But I had to learn that God took that situation, and he was like, hey, ever since you've been with her, you ain't focused on me anymore. You're focused on her. You're focused on this relationship. And I had to learn that. And I put all my focus on her. And that's not what I should do. In any relationship, God should be the main focus. In any marriage, God should be the main focus. And so, I'm going to stop right there. So, Hebrews 12, 7 through 13. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. God is a loving Father. He loves you. Yeah, we all make mistakes. That's why God sent his only Son to die on the cross for us, to shed his blood for us. That's like the greatest sacrifice that anyone could make for anyone. It's laying down your life for someone you care about. That is the greatest sacrifice. It's like it cannot be matched. His grace, from that blood that was shed, his grace overwhelms all the sin. Like, it covers it. Now, that doesn't mean you can abuse that grace. That's where a lot of people go wrong. They sin and they're like, oh, God's got it. It's covered. Don't worry about it. That's not how that works. God calls us every day to take up our cross daily and follow Him. He calls us to make disciples of all nations. So, ended up senior year, I got cab president. I got elected into the position. I was so excited. And at the time, but also I was going through the breakup. Well, at this time, Gannon and me became really close. Okay? Like, really, really close. We're roommates now. That close. And so, we became really close and we became best friends. And throughout this whole semester, my senior year of college, I am struggling bad. Because I am trying to figure out my emotions for my ex and all this stuff. And like, I had guys being like, Walker, I'm like, no. But it was like a whole thing. And it was a long process. Many of the guys can attest to this in the room. But I finally did. And I never knew this, but God called me to fuse camps in that midst of all those emotions. And I was like, God, do you understand what I'm going through right now? I cannot minister to kids. Like, I'm going through this situation right now. How do you think I'm ready to minister to kids? And he was like, apply. I'm like, okay. And so I applied. We got the job. And so coming into spring semester, the semester I graduated, this actually past spring, I got really excited, but my ex got engaged to that my ex's best friend. So that was another hit in the face. That was hard because it was a tough pill to swallow. But it's okay because I was in a better place at that time. And I looked at the guys one night when we had guys group and I said, hey, they actually looked at me and said, Bryce, you're never going to be able to move on from this unless you forgive them. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I can do that. But I realized they were 100% right. I had to forgive what my past was holding on to me because I wouldn't forgive and let go of it. And so I prayed and I said, hey, when you think I'm ready, Lord, let me see them. I'm going to forgive them in person. All semester long, did not see either one of them. 2 weeks before graduation, saw them at an event. And I kind of got this, like, you know, when God's calling you to do something, that tug on your heart, that's what happened. And walked over there. I was like, hey, can I talk to you? And they were like, yeah. It's kind of skeptical, but I expected to be so angry. But the moment I started talking, I felt this peace like no other come through me. And I forgave them. And I wished them the best in their marriage. And I know that was the Lord speaking through me. So I don't know if I could have said that being Bryce. But I went to Fuse Camps after that. It was amazing. Let me tell you, ministry there's nothing better than ministry to kids that I saw. Seeing the life change was amazing for me. And so, Hebrews 12:14-17. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. I don't even know how to say that. Who? Esau. Yeah, there we go. That's why we're helping each other here. Who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights to the oldest as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. We're called to love everybody, no matter what they've done. It's not our right to judge people for their past. It's not. Now, you can hold people accountable. But in Scripture, it says, before you judge somebody else, take the log out of your own eye. But being a Christian, it takes discipline. You have to work at it. See, a lot of people in today, they get it wrong. Christianity is not just, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. You can know all there is to know about Jesus and not have a relationship with Him. Even in Scripture, it says Jesus is going to look at those people and be like, you know all about me, but you don't know me. You don't truly know that person. You don't have a relationship. You don't consistently talk to that person about what you're struggling with. So I want y'all to do me a favor. Get your phone out. You don't have to open it up. Just open it to your home screen like this. Okay, everybody turn your flashlights on. Okay? And the Lord said, I'm just kidding. But everybody has their flashlight on, right? Okay. So this is us. We're being the light of Jesus. We're letting Jesus' light shine through us, right? Okay? I want y'all to swipe left to your camera. What happens? The light turns off. And that's the moment you're focusing on yourself. That's when the light of Jesus goes away. That's when the light of Jesus goes away. Being a Christian, it takes risk. Jesus never said it was going to be hard. You think it was easy on the cross? No, it wasn't. Jesus was cursed at, spit on, beaten. All these things. Just because He wants a relationship with you. There's no other sign of greater love that I can see. Jesus just wants a relationship. And look, I know it's hard. You're going to have temptations. You're going to want to go out and party. You're going to want to drink. You're going to do all these things. You're going to have sex before marriage. You're going to want to do all these things. But having disciplines means you have to decide not to do those things. I want to go to the bar all the time and dance. I love to dance. I can't. Because Jesus calls me to be a light for Him. I can't go out to the bar and twerk and then be like, hey, I'll pray for you. No, that's not how that works. Okay? That's not how that works. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. It's either you dive full in or you don't. That's what a lot of people get wrong. Sorry, got a little carried away there. But the point is, there's a difference. And I learned this at Thrive Ministries. There's a difference between being a fan and a follower of Christ. Being a fan, you go to church. You know everything there is to know. You know every Bible story. Being a follower, you make decisions every single day to follow Jesus and make sure people hear the word of the Lord. That's the difference. Because Jesus died for our sins. And guess what? Everybody in your classrooms, everybody sitting around you, their eternity's at stake. So that little bit of time of uncomfortability could save somebody's life for not living in the lake of fire for eternity. And I know we can make excuses. I'm shy. I don't like talking to people. Not everybody's as outgoing as me. I understand. Okay? But that's an excuse that Satan tells you to. Because no matter what, we're called to share the good news. We are called to make disciples of all nations. Proverbs 10:17. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. That verse is very powerful, in my opinion, because it talks about you have to have discipline, because other people may struggle with different things than you do, but you don't want to be the reason that that person falls into that temptation. If someone struggles with alcohol, you shouldn't drink around them. It's the same concept. Christianity, it hates work. It always will. You just have to make the decision to either follow Christ fully, fast replaces, follow Christ fully, or walk away. Because like I told you, you cannot have one foot in and one foot out. That's not how Christianity works. The thing is, all Jesus wants, all God wants, is for you to have that relationship with Him. And the people around you may not have that relationship with Him. You got to know whether you have a relationship or you're just following Jesus as a fan instead of being an actual follower. I know, sometimes you get ideas like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to follow Jesus because of all of the things I've done. That's not the truth. Jesus loves you no matter what you have done. He loves you to the point where He shed His blood and died on the cross and rose 3 days later for you. For you, for me, for everyone who is literally ridiculing His name. He still loves them. I saw at the Grammys, they were dressing like demons and all this crap. God still loves that person. But it's our job to share the good news of that. Share the good news that God still loves them even though they're making those mistakes. So I want everybody to bow their heads. I know it can be hard. Life is hard. It's not going to be easy. Being a Christian takes a lot of risk. But are you going to take that risk? Are you going to be that light of Jesus in the darkness? Are you going to overcome that uncomfortable situation where you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody else? That's your decision to make. I can't make it for you. Nobody in this room can make that decision for you. You have to make the decision to have a relationship with Christ. You have to make the decision to follow Jesus with your whole heart. And even though you're struggling, there's always time to go back because your eternity is at stake. If anybody wants to make that decision tonight, come find me. Come find Chris. Come find Galen. Look, I'm here to talk to y'all about it. We can't hide. We need to be those people who people look at differently. because being a Christian means you are different. But guess what? God loves you the same either way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Lord, let us come to you right now, Lord. I just pray over this group of people, Lord. I know that they may have some struggles going on in their own lives right now, Lord. That they may be going through the most horrible situation. But I pray that they know that your hand is over that situation,
Lord.
I pray that they know all you want is just for them to have a relationship with you. For them to love you with all of their heart. Because we already know you love us with all of your heart. And I pray that if anyone's on the fence about simply following you, not being a fan, not just going to church and putting on an end, but truly is to follow you, Lord, I pray that they make that decision. That they decide, I don't want to fight anymore. I want to be looked at different. Because that is, I want to be looked at different for the sake of the gospel. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.